Good morning, everyone. I am Shay. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and 100 pounder. I would like to begin with a brief prayer. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen. My lifetime of career compulsive overeating is likely to sound a lot like yours. It still amazes me to hear my story coming out of somebody else's mouth, even though it happens kind of frequently. Many of you have experienced the same bullying, the shame, the isolation, self-loathing, and secret keeping that I have. I don't, I won't bore you unnecessarily with war stories or a food along, but suffice it to say that if it was possible to overeat or abuse food or food behaviors, I did it. I began gaining weight in second grade and have not had a day of normal weight since I was 6 years old. I am the third generation compulsive overeater. As far as I know, just three generations. And then my daughter and grandson represent generations four and five. I grew up in a rage-infested alcoholic home. We were poor and had a lot of food insecurity. There were many nights that we had gravy bread to eat or macaroni and tomatoes and other carby kinds of foods that went a long way. Let's see. At the age of 10, I got a part-time job, actually a paying part-time job, as a musician in a band. And so my earnings from that started to become part of the household budget, which turned out to be a good thing because my parents separated that year, and my dad wasn't always very responsible about helping out mom and the kids. They did reconcile a year later, and in the process of that reconciliation, they moved to Central Florida to get a fresh start. Unfortunately, it has cost me my part-time job. And I promptly became a fat kid in a beach town. My friends would disappear on Friday afternoon and not resurface until Sunday. So there was literally nobody to play with over the weekend. I made it through high school and went on to college. Mostly I made it to high school on the by virtue of my musical abilities. That was how I broke into like the second level of the popularity circle. And I went on to college, where I actually had my first romantic encounter with another woman. As the ultimate act of denial, however, I started dating men and eventually married a man I met away at college. But not before I had my first girlfriend. Ultimately, both relationships failed, and I entered into a number of relationships, more bullying, more shame, more isolation. My weight continued to be a problem throughout high school into college. And sorry, I already said that. I was introduced to OA through two friends at church, who I happened to notice were having these remarkable physical transformations. And as the career dieter that I was, I wanted to know what they were doing. And they introduced me to OA. In those days, there was what was called a gray sheet diet. And the amazing thing about the gray sheet diet was it worked for me. It really, really worked for me. It had enough guardrails, enough safety limitations that I could thrive in that environment. I dropped 80 pounds like nothing. And I remember sitting in a meeting and beside two other fellows who had joined about the same time I had. And someone referred to us as the incredible shrinking women. I did not handle that well. I could not tolerate that level of exposure or even affirmation. So what did I do? I disappeared. I stopped going to meetings, stopped calling people, stopped all of the, I even stopped eating correctly or eating up what was on my food plan. So as you would expect, I gained back all the weight that I lost and then some. I began a string of toxic relationships as my weight increased. My ability to care for myself decreased and stayed at, and I stayed in those relationships to have someone to help me bathe, toilet, and dress. Now, Grant, I'm 20 something years old, 28 years old, and I can't go to the bathroom by myself. I can't wipe my own behind. I was always able to generate income, so I kept those people who would help me. I provided for them, so they stayed. I stayed. We stayed. I used those people for my own necessities. I'm sorry, I'm very nervous. eventually, we got I got back in OA and realized I had been missing a critical ingredient, and that was step work. So my impression of step work had been that step work was for losers who couldn't get abstinent. So that was a big learning curve for me. And so now that I had that under my belt, guess what I did again? I left. I had my tools and I could handle this by myself, which didn't happen, of course. Because I didn't have the same support circle. I've repeated this cycle a couple of times. Each time when I came back, I'd find a little piece that I had been missing until finally I realized that the little piece I was missing was a focus on higher power and that the weight really wasn't important. That boggled my mind that the weight was not the focus. And I learned that saying, if you focus on the recovery, you lose the weight. If you focus on the weight, you'll lose the recovery. And so I started being focused toward gaining a recovered life. And I did that for a couple of years. I had rejoined OA on my 60th birthday and was going to multiple meetings every day and just seeking and seeking for that miracle. And damn it, I never got that miracle. And I remember going on a rant. I think it was even this room, was where the heck is my miracle? I'm sitting in a room full of skinny people. Where is my miracle? And I was mad. I resented. I don't begrudge everyone their skinny bodies, but I did resent that it hadn't been given to me yet. At that point, my weight had ballooned to 359 pounds on a 5'2" frame. So basically, I was round. I looked like a beach ball with legs. I was having major health problems related to the intense damage and disrespect I had heaped on my body. I had a heart pacemaker, sleep apnea, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and had three joints replaced, and had another a myriad of medical consequences of morbid obesity. Actually, at that point, there was a classification called supermorbid obesity for people above a certain BMI level. And yep, I qualified. My work life and my personal life began to suffer even more. Went through a string of more toxic relationships, in addition to losing seven jobs in 5 years. I eventually gave up and went and filed for disability, which I was eventually granted based on consequences of compulsive overeating. That's kind of what it was like. As for what happened, the short version is that I recommitted to OA on my 60th birthday in 2021. I determined not to leave. And as had happened before, I found another piece to the puzzle. That was that all of it went together. And seeking a higher power involved working with others. I took service positions. I got a home group and a support system, and I could now access meetings around the clock. Everything, I was doing everything I knew how to do. And still, where is my damn miracle? I started looking around the rooms and realized that I needed more input from people who know what it's like to sit down in a chair and wonder if it's going to hold you. So I started going to 100-pound meetings. And that's kind of like a tribe within a tribe. Long story short, I took a service position as speaker seeker for a meeting that had a speaker every week. No problem, right? Wrong. They gave me a list of potential speakers, and the problem was that 90% of those calls that I made, those people either declined or didn't take my call or accepted my call, accepted the offer, and then canceled the day before, or they just ghosted me. And then I got really upset about that. So I decided I'm quitting again, because that's what I do. But at least this time I had learned some responsibility, and I made it a point to try to notify someone. So I called person A, I'll call person A, and told them that I was leaving and that they didn't have a speaker for the night. She said, "I am not the person that you need to tell that to. You need to tell person B." I said, "Okay, whatever." I pick up the phone, I call person B. I told, "I'm leaving. There won't be a speaker tonight." She said, "I'm not the person that you need to tell that to." And I said, "Fine, whatever." And I made one more phone call. And I told person C, "I'm not going to, I'm leaving, and there's not going to be a speaker tonight." And person C said, in a very simple way, "No.
Bye. What's left?
Thank you." No, she said no. And was I open to some phone calls? I got 13 phone calls in the next 5 minutes. And I had never felt so supported and cared for and surrounded by love. Needless to say, I didn't leave. I started the 12-day sponsorship program with Person C. And after, I guess, maybe 8 to 10 days, we discovered that we did work well together and she became a permanent sponsor. I like to say that ass kicking is her love language. And I get a lot of that. I get a lot of love from her. Let me see. I've lost my place. I found myself. I found that my sponsor was what we call a big book thumper. And as dedicated as I was to OA literature, I found myself open and willing to that. Actually, what I found myself was drowning and desperate. But even in my rebellion and rejection of OA, I knew that this was my last chance. If I fell off this horse again, I would never have the strength to crawl back on. I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm just too under-motivated. So I put my purpose to it, and we've been working on the steps ever since. I know that I have most of the tools now. Even if I never show up at another meeting, which would be a mistake because Google Meets is one of the tools, but I had forgotten how vital it is to have fellows walking the path with me. I've forgotten how not alone I felt when I could go to a meeting anywhere in the world and feel that same support and love. I realized it didn't even have to be in the same language, because the love was universal. I forgot the part where my higher power had shown me what had been created for my good. Forgot all about that and a lot more. I'm sorry, I'm losing my place again. So despite, I was the emotionally immature child of emotionally immature parents, so I didn't get much of that good stuff. But despite my poor white trash heritage, I did manage to come out with a huge ego problem. And that's been my sponsor's job one. For me, is that I'm smashing my ego. Actually, ego vacillated between egocentric and the imposter syndrome, which is basically selfishness turned upside down. She assigned me pages 60 to 63 in the big book to do it in the first person and read that every day. And I've been doing that and inviting God to sit in the director's chair.
1 minute left.
Thank you. I began to understand why this book, this big book, had rescued millions of people, millions of addicts of every persuasion. I found that description of addiction process was a craving of the body and the obsession of the mind, and that rang true for me. AAs are my people, just like OAs are my people. I work with a number of addicts and alcoholics in my job, and they get it. More and more, I'm finding other 12-steppers get it, though there are variations in symptoms. It is the same disease with the same prognosis, death. As for how it is now, I'm free. I have food neutrality and a God's glove of personal resources I can access if I begin to stumble. I make daily phone calls to newcomers and do the meditations, express gratitude, have,
Time.
I'll tie this up, have an action plan, and I try to do service in every meeting. how I get to pay it. Now I get to pay it forward to newcomers who God directs into my path. And it's exciting walking the same steps every day, preparing to become a sponsor of myself soon. I'm coming full circle, doing service for newcomers, protecting my own recovery at the same time by working with others. I'm sure you've all had enough of listening to me now, so I thank you for your attention.